Welcome to Brave New Bookshelf, a podcast that explores the fascinating intersection of AI and authorship. Join hosts Steph Padonis and Danica Favorite as they dive into thought-provoking discussions, debunk myths, and highlight the transformative role of AI in the publishing industry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to an episode of the Brave New Bookshelf. I'm one of your co-hosts, Steph Padonis, CTO of Future Fiction Academy, and I'm also the editor-in-chief of Future Fiction Press. So that's a new one that I can add onto this intro every single time. I'm here to talk about AI with all of my good friends, especially my wonderful co-host. But before we get to that, I just want to say that there's lots of cool things happening in AI right now. I keep getting blown away by AI images, AI audio, AI video. And just like every single day, there's something that blows my mind. So I'm always excited to come in here and talk about these things with other people in the industry. It's just so exciting. And I think maybe that's the only adjective I have right now for any of this stuff. It's just exciting. All right. So I will get through my intro here and go straight into talking to my wonderful co-host. Danica Favorite is just back from an awesome vacation. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. Yeah. I just got back from Costa Rica. It was amazing. Although I have to say it was funny. I was sweating in places I didn't know I could sweat in. And here I'm back in Colorado and everyone else is complaining about the heat. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not sweating. So it's good. Otherwise, I would love to be back in Costa Rica. But alas, here we all are. With these lovely people, I told Steph when we first got on the call, I was like, oh, Steph, I'm so happy to see your face. So it is always also great to be back. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Danica Favorite. I'm the community manager at Publish Drive, where we help authors on every stage of their publishing journey, from crafting the perfect metadata, book descriptions, to AI book covers, to getting their books distributed to the widest audience possible. And then, of course, once those sales start rolling in, if you need to split royalties, we can help with that as well. So I think between the press, the AI writing tools, the classes, we have everything. And for those of you who are like, yeah, but what about video? Can I just say, we got you, because our guest today is the fantastic and wonderful Michael Evans. Some of you have seen him before. He is a repeat guest. And as Steph talks about all the exciting stuff happening with AI, I think as I have been following Michael, that's that same feeling. It's like, oh my gosh, what's Michael doing now? Oh my gosh, that's so cool. And we were just talking about just the changes in what he's doing and in the AI world. And I was joking with him, like 100 days from now, he's going to be a completely different Michael. And not completely different, because at the core, he is still the same, but just so many exciting projects. And that is how fast AI is moving, and really excited for that. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce you all to our good friend, Michael Evans, who is returning to tell us about his latest AI project. Michael, over to you.
Hi. Oh, it's so great to be here. I remember, I think it was like just over 4 months ago when we last chatted. I think it also aired about 4 months ago too. And I was like mentioning my like latest obsession with AI video. And I think that obsession has gone beyond the point of obsession now. I think it's just my life. But yeah, for those who haven't heard of Creatorwood, it's essentially my latest venture to help storytellers rule the world, which is the mission I've been on for a while. We've got a ways to go, but this one I think is a pretty big step forward, because all you have to do is upload your book to, we call it the movie machine, and we create all your characters, all their voices, all the settings and objects, and your entire storyboard with every shot planned out. And then once you're happy with it, you can make edits. You press one button and each scene of your story is generated. And you can make a full-length movie. 90 minutes of film costs roughly $1,100. You can, counting edits and re-edits, probably make a full-length movie for $2,000. And that is half the price of what it was just a couple weeks ago. So it just shows the progress in terms of where this is going. And it's been really fun to be in an industry where the progress is happening so fast that we can just pass on cost savings and improvements very rapidly. I used to say 2 weeks ago, you can create a movie now for about the same price of an audiobook if you're using human narration. We're officially at the point now where for most folks, you can make a movie cheaper than you'd be able to get an audiobook made if you chose a human, which, by the way, audiobooks with AI narration are great too. But just to give you a perspective of just a couple of years ago, like, you'd have to get audiobooks done, you'd pay $1,000 for it. Now you can pay not even thousands, oftentimes just $1,000 and get a full-length movie. And that is not science fiction anymore. Mind you, Creatorwood at the time of recording is still in beta, but we launch to the public in 19 days. And we've really cut down the process where traditionally, if you used existing AI video tools, you'd have to make 1,000 plus prompts. You'd have to try and feed in character consistency, what we call composite images, feed in all of that into all these different models. And it's going to just take you an incredible amount of time. And what we do is route request to different models to give you like the cheapest and fastest result. We dynamically change your storyboard into prompts for you. So you just focus on the story. You don't have to think about the prompting. And we feed in context about your story, all of your characters, and the settings to maintain consistency, not just visually, but also with the voices too. So we take a process that is manual and can often take hundreds of hours to make a movie, which, mind you, is still pretty incredible. And we bring it down to something you can do in just a weekend and oftentimes get higher quality at a cheaper price because not only are you going to have to do less regenerations because it's higher quality, but we can often route to different models to get you cheaper prices than you normally would because you're probably just either using one or you're not optimizing the best tool for the best request. And we've done an incredible amount of testing to make the movie machine awesome. And as I like to say, it is the worst it ever will be now. So if anyone is impressed by it, even the next month checks it out and is like, wow, this is cool. Just know that it's going to get radically better. And I say this knowing that it's already gotten radically better in the months we've been working on it, which just blows my mind. But that's not just due to us, that's due to this really whole wave happening in technology right now. And I think it's going to completely change the film industry. And it's the time for Creatorwood. And we're super excited for it.
I love this. I love so much about this because you started with a vision, right? You started with a vision. You were excited about video, excited. You've always been excited about storytelling. That's one of the things that you and I've connected over. But it's one of those things where you had this vision and then you focused down into let's take your book and make it into a movie. This is how you came up with Creatorwood. And I was just talking about this before we started recording, was this that, oh, it's like Hollywood, but for creators, right? Creatorwood, got it. So talk to me a little bit about how this vision for this new company came about. You were working on YouTube just a year ago. So I'm gonna guess that might have given you some inspiration about what to do next with your next part of your career.
100%. Yeah. The weird directions life takes you in, sometimes you don't realize at the time or the places you're meant to be. But kind of my arc goes something like in arc, whatever, where I'm not the main character. But
Yes, you are the main character. Stop it.
absolutely. Actually, you're not even the main character. Your main character is literally the main character now. They're literally on screen now. But I've always loved technology and obsessed with it, obsessed with the future. Probably not too different from Future Fiction Academy. Lots of futurists over there. And I started self-publishing books in high school. I self-published 12, which just meant I didn't have a lot of friends. But when I got to college, I did YouTube. And I'll be honest, why I did YouTube is because I loved Hank Green. I loved John Green. And I just thought they were like the coolest brothers. And at the time, I knew Hank Green was working on a book. John Green had published all these books. And I was like, I want to be them when I grow up. And I'm like, I want to make YouTube videos and write books. So I found a way to do both. That led me into then eventually starting a software company for authors. And then after that, I went to go work for Mr. Beast. And that was a wild ride. But at Mr. Beast, three big things happened there that brought me to understanding what I needed to learn for Creatorwood. The first was I got an inside look at where technology was going. We worked very closely with the 11 Labs team, pushing 11 Labs to its frontiers. We were working with video model companies also early on. So I knew everything that was happening. And I was fortunate enough to maybe see where the future was going a little bit before a lot of other folks did. That in tandem with my co-founder, who is building CreateWood with me. He was building all these AI video search tools and basically AI tools for creators. And me and him went to school together. He was an admin actually in an entrepreneur group I'm a part of. And when I joined Beast, it was like, oh, hey man, do you think Beast would ever be interested in a client? And I'm like, I absolutely will connect to you and let's talk. And from there, me and him started talking all the time and became pretty close friends. And it became clear to me that he was that rare combination of brilliant engineer. He dropped out of school like after 2 years and got recruited to work for a very, very good startup as like their founding engineer and was offered like a ridiculous pay package. And he quit it all to do CreatorWood. He's very talented. And I was like, okay, I have the smartest engineer I know who loves video. That's crazy. And one thing I've learned with people is if you want to work with someone who's great, you need to create something big enough for them to see themselves inside. And he's not someone I was going to go to with some cute little idea. I needed to come to him knowing that we could upend an industry. Like, that's why we're doing this. And I didn't have the framework yet. But the kind of last learning that I had being with Mr. Beast was how the video platforms work. And I learned really well how the YouTube algorithm works. And I mentioned this a little bit on our last episode, but YouTube isn't really built for episodic content. It's also not built for the monetization of episodic content. So you have to get 1 million views to get a couple thousand dollars in AdSense. To make multiple videos that do well episodically is like very hard. And the same thing's true for TikTok, et cetera, et cetera. So you have social, which is built for one-off hits of content and these endless feeds. Then you have Netflix where premium content sits, but no one can get on. And it just feels like we're missing the Kindle Direct Publishing for film. Like, where can I publish films, sell direct to my audience, and build a business doing it? That was an absurd proposition a few years ago, but I saw with AI, this is not absurd anymore. People are going to be doing this. They're not doing it yet, but they will. So that's when I called him up and was like, hey, let's go build this platform. And funnily enough, right when we had our last conversation, I was like, literally, I think that day or the day after is when I like met with him in person and we both decided, let's do this, let's experiment. And we built the first version of this, which was before the movie machine, when it was just a platform to upload your films. And our thesis was you'll go use the other AI tools, you'll go to the other AI platforms, and you'll make your movies and you'll sell them here. Because I'm a pretty big believer in that. A lot of this software is amazing, but when it comes to film, it doesn't really matter if you can't build a business around it. Like, it's pretty amazing. You can produce a film for $1,000 that's like pretty high quality, but that should be noted, it's not a trivial expense. If you make 10 films, you're talking 10 or 20K. All of a sudden, that's not something that everyone could do, but I want to live in a world where you can make 50 movies. So the only way most people are gonna be able to make 50 movies is if you can make your money back. So I thought, let's build the business around this. And it made sense. And I launched it several months ago in the author community and had so much excitement around it. I was teaching people all these free workshops about how to use the AI tools. I'm like, guys, I've already done this. I know how to do all this. Let's go do it. And to my surprise, no one was uploading anything. And I was like, oh, okay, no one's making me. And they were super excited. They were like, I want to make movies. So I followed up with everyone. I'm like, why are you not making movies? It's all good. You can tell me, like, because it was free to upload, right? Like, we'd only make money when you make money. So it's risk-free to try it out. And I was like, what is it? Like, I don't think it's the price point because it's free to upload. So is it the platform bad? What's going on? They're like, no, nothing. We want to do this. We just started it and we followed what you told us to do, but we realized it was going to take us hundreds of hours. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. It will probably take you a really long time. And they're like, and honestly, we don't have the time for that. And I'm like, of course you don't. Like, who does? And I forget, like, I did YouTube, I did filmmaking, so I understand all the different tools and how they all work. That's not the average storyteller's experience. They write stories, as you should. That's what you're good at. So I'm like, how do we make it so that you can make films without being a filmmaker and come into super opinionated? What if we built the AI video platform that turns stories into film so you don't need to be a filmmaker? And then that's where the movie machine was born from. So it was a very CUNY-driven process how we landed on this. So I didn't really come to understand that we needed a movie machine. It was you all and authors who told me that. But I did know that there was a market that could be created here from my experience in video and Mr. Beast and seeing this gap where most people think it's crazy that individual storytellers can actually make films and can actually build a business doing it. Those are two beliefs when you hold together that almost no one believes. And maybe we're just crazy enough to believe it. But I think we're going to show the world that not only it's possible, but a lot of people can do this. So I'm super excited for that, for people in Hollywood, people all over the world to be shocked when the next great film isn't made by a team in Hollywood or a group of AI filmmakers in San Francisco, but a mom in Iowa. That's when we made it. And I think we're not there yet, but I hope we can start to see these success stories because the world is going to be a better place if we make this more accessible and take down these gatekeepers. And I still think most AI video platforms are even selling directly to big advertisers, directly to big enterprises. Like I've been told many times that what we're doing is insane. And that's what excites me because I'm like, you think it's insane, but you haven't met the storytellers that I have. Like you haven't met how enterprising indie authors are, what we're capable of. And it's to think that we're limited to like indie authorship as we know it today is just that. It's so limiting. Like we can all expand and take on something so much bigger. That's my goal. And I think I mentioned it last time, but I'm still big on this. Let's 10x the GDP of indie publishing. That's the real aim. And I think how we're going towards that aim has evolved. But if anything, it's just more fun now because now it's one place to go and do it all. Let's make it happen.
I think that a lot of the authors have stumbled over the tools, and that is exactly why they weren't uploading. It's because they can see how cool it is. But all the little tweaks and all the little stuff that you have to do to make it look cohesive and interesting and really cool, that was the part that like they were just like, "Ah, oh, I don't have the time for this," just like they told you. So I think it's really awesome that you went with software. I understand that making software is a real pain in the butt sometimes. We've put together a lot of software at the FFA, and it is quite a process, and it can have a lot of bugs and it can cause a lot of issues, but eventually it ends up filling a space in the market that was empty, and now people have tools to do the kinds of things that they want to do. So I'm totally behind this movie maker. I think it's really sounds really cool. I can't wait to use it myself at some point, sometime soon. But what I love about this is that you're thinking forward into the future. You're thinking about that mom in Iowa who does want to make a movie out of her book, right? I said in the very beginning when AI text was blowing up, and people were like, "Oh, I'm not too sure how this is going to affect our industry and whatnot." I said, "I can't wait for the next bestseller that's going to come from somebody who had this idea. They couldn't write it, didn't have enough time, didn't know enough about the craft or whatever, and used AI to finally get it out there. And now everybody loves it. I knew it was going to come. I know it's going to come. It's only a matter of time." And the
There's a
same can
question
happen
on
in
it.
all these.
It may have happened already. We
It
just,
probably did.
you know what I mean?
We
I
just don't
mean,
even know.
yeah, the one from Future Fiction Press is coming, but I think in general, I'm pretty confident that moment's quietly happened already.
Yeah, I think you're right. And what excites me too is, and I talked about this on a previous episode, like Steph's books are so sci-fi and out there. The production budget for an actual movie of one of Steph's books is too high to ever actually make her movie in Hollywood. I think is a lot of the great books that you read and you want to see a story. And how many of us have said, "Oh, I wish there was a movie like X," or "I wish there were more movies like X." Right now, I have a really big problem with movies that are billed as rom-coms with something bad or somebody dies or whatever. And here's the thing though, like as an author, I can write that book and then I can go over to Creatorwood and now I've got that kind of movie that I want to watch. And more people who are like me, who would like to watch those movies, get to watch those movies. I think this really is this ultimate democratization of that craft where suddenly it isn't the big, as you were saying, Michael, the gatekeeping. It's any movie is possible. And so many of the ones that we would like to see, like I said, I've got my personal taste. I look at Steph's books and I look at all of these other amazing stories out there that we now get to see. And now it's so simple. I was just thinking as you were talking about how the cost has already gone down in just 2 weeks, which to me is amazing because, again, it's just that further democratization. But Steph will probably remember this, but do you remember, gosh, like a year or two ago, where we were all frustrated that the AI was not good enough yet that we could get consistent images for the different covers in a series? And now, what you just are telling us is not only do we see that in a book, but now we can get a consistent image in a movie that is consistent scenes. And that, to me, is mind-blowing.
It was funny because when we started this 4 months ago, I had this sort of moment where I was like, I know this is going to be possible, but we're definitely not too late. There's only one other, you either time it right or you're too early. So I'm like, are we too early to this? Because just 4 months ago, like when we were starting, like it was before VO3. So there, it was really like, I think harder to see the viability of it. Like when VO3 came out, I was like, absolutely, like we're going down the right path. Let's keep going, full steam ahead. But like until that moment when it was like VO3, it was like, yeah, like you have to really squint at a lot of this stuff. And then sea dances come out and runways. There's been an explosion. And then at the cost of it's just amazing in 4 months how much better it's gotten. And it's really gotten to the point of viability in a short period of time. And I'm happy that we started when we did it. It ended up being perfect. But there was like many moments where I was like, this is absolutely insane to even think this is possible. But I think the biggest thing that we're entering into right now is, like you said, Danica, all the niche genres, quote unquote niche, sometimes the niches are way bigger than the things that Hollywood thinks are mainstream, but all the genres that they would never publish, all the subgenres, all the things can now come in. And what I'm excited about, because I don't think this is like Creatorwood versus Hollywood. Maybe there's an aspect to that, but it's really. And what's going to end up happening is similar to what happened in indie publishing, where so many more people are now going to be watching films that they love and enjoy that didn't exist before because no story did that on screen. And sci-fi and fantasy are amazing examples because sci-fi and fantasy in particular are extremely expensive to produce. The average Hollywood movie now is up to $80 million to make, which is a lot of money. That's the average. Of course, there's a median there. Many are less than that, but it's just crazy. And 80% of budget now in Hollywood is going towards remakes, sequels, and existing IP. There's actually not that much opportunity for new IP to get funded. And in a year, it's 200 or so. And it's been really interesting because Creatorwood now, we've got maybe, it's gotten pretty big. It's like maybe 12,000 people on our wait list. And out of that group, I would say like half are screenwriters, maybe even more than half, which has surprised me. And we edited the software to also work for screenwriting because it's a pretty similar process. And I know I'm speaking to mostly a group of indie authors now, and I want to speak now that I'm understanding even more about where this market's going. There's going to be like three market players in AI videos, four market players. There's going to be the studios, AI native studios, which I think are actually really interesting. A lot of them, I think, are. There's a lot of time in like admin costs and like all these processes. I think again, better software can solve. So maybe Creatorwood helps a lot of these studios. So I see that as something that is interesting because for an author who might not want to fund the production of their film, although it's getting to be very cost effective, but if that's not something you want to fund or the marketing of it, you can work with a studio. These AI native studios are coming, similar to how we saw small presses in the indie publishing world, just to draw the parallel. Then you have the folks who are net new to this kind of storytelling at all. They don't know about indie publishing. They aren't even screenwriters. They're just net new to this and would love to write a story for this type of film. Surprising amount of people are in that camp, maybe a third. Then there's, I'd say, like the biggest contingent, even bigger than indie authors that we've been able to see grab onto our software are people who write screenplays and screenwriters. And some of them are in Hollywood, some of them are not. Their mindset, there's a lot of programming that they need to like deprogram from right now. And I think it's been good because a lot of them love the software. They love what it's capable of. But for a lot of them, they have a lot of trouble wrapping themselves around the business of it. Like they're going, okay, so I'm going to use this as a promo to then try and get a studio to then go to a distributor, or I'm going to just sell to a distributor. And I'm like, you absolutely can do that for the record. You can take your IP on Creatorwood and put it anywhere. You own it. But at the same time, is that really the play, or is that just going to be wasted time? And for most people, it will be, as opposed to the indie authors who are like, we know how to market our stuff. We're going to get our stuff out there. Where we know what to do, it just seems to me that from like a market perspective, indie authors could run away with this whole industry because I'm seeing the other segments of people and they just can't wrap their minds yet around the fact they haven't given themselves permission to do this yet. Like they
Well, to be
haven't done that.
fair, this is the process indie authors went through too. Because I
Oh, for sure.
remember when indie first came on the scene, that was the whole thing. I'm going to self-publish a book to get the attention of an agent who's going to get me a big contract. I'm going to self-publish a book to get my name out there so that the big publishers will take me on. So I feel like we as indie authors have been through this journey. And so we can almost, maybe that's a niche for us, is to take these filmmakers by the hand and say, whoa, 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 don't even worry about getting their attention. Because here's the thing, indie authors, we're doing great. The big five still exist. The main pub, they're all still out there. There's just more options for the readers. And I think that as indie authors, what you're saying, this is our opportunity to lead in that industry.
Absolutely. Indie authors are ahead compared to any other skill set. And I think what's happening, and I've already seen it, is we have folks going, oh my God, I didn't know indie publishing was a thing, or I didn't really wrap my head around it. I want to now be an indie author. And there's so many people in that camp that we think we're in this big world and there's so many indie authors. This is such a small percentage of the net people who want to or can and do write stories. So for anyone in this community, it's like we have an opportunity to shepherd more people into this community and grow this movement on the book side. This is going to grow the books because we're going to have more people writing books. And I think there's still a ton of readers, a ton of people really, who are just stuck in mainstream culture, for lack of better words. The only ways they've gone to any form of like stuff that isn't like the mainstream book, the mainstream this, is social media. But they haven't found the love for this niche form of film. So what's going to happen is all these niche films will come about. They'll watch them and then they'll be like, oh my God, there's a book tied to this film. Yeah, the book was written first. Okay, I'll read the book. And I'm really excited for that. We're going to be able to invite more people. It's not just about filmmaking. I think we can invite more people into the author industry. I'm not saying it's going to grow by leaps and bounds because of this alone, but I've been extremely surprised at like how big the world is. And as a result, like how early we still are in indie publishing. We're talking about a new thing now, all for it. But like indie publishing is so new still. And I take that for granted. I think a lot of us might take it for granted. But don't. And it's really cool. You're here early. And I think there's a lot of ways to help people and to ride this wave because this wave of even the book side is not slowing down anytime soon.
No, and I think that the thing that I think about a lot with authors is that it's not too late. And
Absolutely.
even if, like, you all have heard me talk about the fact that my life has just completely blown up in the past couple years and I'm rebuilding and restarting. And so I stopped writing. And it's like, oh no, is it passing me by? And the answer is no, because there's still so many opportunities. So if you're listening to this, just say right now we're recording this September 9th, 2025. If you listen to this September 9th, 2026, not only is the technology going to be better and cheaper, in fact, probably even better and even cheaper than we are predicting right now, because that so far has been proven true with every prediction Steph and I have made. But there's still going to be so much opportunity for you that you haven't missed anything. So don't think that you're missing out in any way because there is so much room for everybody. This is just like, I don't even want to use the table metaphor because it's so much bigger than a giant table that keeps growing.
And not only will it be cheaper and whatever, it'll also be easier to use as well. And something that Michael has brought up in this conversation is just like the changes from one week to the next. Not only does it get cheaper, but they find easier ways to do things. They can make a run around like roadblocks that jump up in their way. This is September. Back in January, I was like, yes, I'm going to make movies of my books. It's going to be so awesome. And I ran into roadblocks. I couldn't make consistent characters. I couldn't make consistent, like, even appliances in the kitchen of the house that was in there, right? I was like, that blender changed from that picture to this picture. What am I going to do about that? That sort of thing. And this is 9 months later. And you can make videos and the people can talk in them now. It blows me away how far we've come in a month, in half a year, in a year. Next year, I don't even know what to expect. People ask me all the time, what's your like 5-year outlook on AI? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, who knows?
I can't leak anything confidential, but I am privy to information of the model labs that like I'm 100% certain there's like another step change coming in the next before the calendar year end in video. So that's coming. in quality in particular. So that's going to be really interesting to see. I don't know if we'll see like another step change in price improvement in the next couple months, but just in this calendar year, we're going to see like another up level. I've never worked on software like this, and I know you can relate to this stuff, but it's pretty magical to like work on software where we can optimize like 5 to 10 different steps in the process and make it a lot better. And then every step of that process concurrently is being optimized by other people as well along the way. So there's just improvements constantly. And every week there's a breakthrough. It's like, we made this better, we made this better, we made this better. So it's almost like my anti-sell against people rushing into this because, like, it's just going to get so much better. But I also think, on a timeline perspective, I think history is moving faster now. I think what took indie authors a decade is going to take 2 to 3 years in this landscape. So I think it's going to mature a little bit faster, and I'm very prepared for that. That's a lot of what I spend my time now thinking as CEO is, how do we mature this industry? How do we throw a ton of viewership at this and create a market overnight? So I think people are going to watch that. The next time on the podcast, it'll be very different. It won't be a movie machine. It'll be like, here's an industry that's very real, because we're just going to take a big bet to make that happen. So I'm very like excited for that. And I think there's some moments in history where you can make the future happen faster. And that's exactly what I want to do. Because the truth is that it doesn't matter how fast these improvements happen. They are absolutely not fast enough, because what I've seen is, and you will see this too, like, I'm already telling you what your experience will be like inside the movie machine. You will see it. You'll be shocked for a few scenes, and you'll be like, I want this to be better. I want this to be better. I want this to be better. And absolutely, you should want it to be better. And it's still great where it's at now, but like, it's relentless demand for like improvements. I don't know how good this is going to get, but I know we have a long way to run, and we're just trying to like sprint through this marathon. We're not the only ones. I think there's like these rare moments in history where everything changes, and it's not going to be this pace of rapid improvement forever. There will be a logarithm here. It's going to level off, but there's no end in sight to it. And you don't know when it's going to end. It might be way longer than we think for this to keep rapidly progressing. And I think in the meantime, we have a really interesting opportunity as storytellers to build a business, to build an audience, to gain foothold in what this is. Because the same principles of good stories remain. And I think what's really exciting about this whole thing is that it's not, where it's different from audiobooks, and I love audiobooks, by the way. Like, absolutely, this is all I listen to now, is that it's additive, right? You can watch the movie and the book. You can read the book and watch the movie, et cetera. That, to me, increases the value of every reader and every single author business who applies this, which is absolutely huge. Like, you've just increased the value of your IP almost overnight without needing to even market more. So I think those are the parts of this where my mind is just blown, and I'm very excited. And I think as an individual storyteller, the thing to do now is to pay attention, to look and see these other success stories and learn from them, because I have a huge invested interest in sharing these success stories. So I will be telling you exactly what people do to succeed. I'll be sharing with you exactly how movies will be made, how they actually make money. It's like, there will be no hidden secrets. It'll all be on a mailing list, all be on a podcast. And I encourage you to follow it, because we have people who are jumping in early in this. Like, we have an 83-year-old man. I won't state his name, but it's adorable. And like, he's making a movie right now. That's crazy to me. So I'm like, we have people jumping in from all different sectors, all different stages and ages of life, and learn from this like early adopter phase that's happening as we speak. And the cycle time of learning isn't going to be years. We're going to come back in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, and have so much more new information to share. Kickstarter, I talked to Oriana. Kickstarter is very supportive of AI projects, which is a thing that people don't always know. You can kickstart your movie. You don't want to spend money out of pocket? Run a Kickstarter now. Get the money up front. I'm telling you, if you raise $3,000 to make a movie, you have buffer room. Like, we're at that point now where you don't need that much money to make a movie. It's pretty fantastic. So bang, you can make a Kickstarter for a movie. It could be a stretch goal. These types of things, like, you can start the funding process now. I don't think people need to go out of pocket for a lot of this stuff if you do it smart. If you do go out of pocket, you should not be spending money you don't have. That's super important. But I think we're at this stage where it's, wow, like, we're here. I mentioned this because I know two authors who've raised money from investors already. Literally, there's so much stuff happening so quickly, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is happening. We're just trying to keep up. And I think if someone's excited about this, there's no reason you can't like take the steps, get cash in. That's the most important thing. Start to scope out your film, and then start to imagine what the business is like. And then maybe this becomes the next thing you do, because I'm making it sound like overly simple, but the truth is that it's not fundamentally different from what we do as indie authors. The only difference is you're selling a film rather than a story, an ebook or an audiobook. This is not a radically different business with radically different fundamentals. It's the same thing fundamentally. It's about your story. So I think it feels like a lot mentally to take on, but it's actually a lot more simple than that because it's like audiobooks versus ebooks. Yeah, it's different. And this is maybe a little bit of a bigger jump, but it's not like you have to relearn any publishing to then publish audiobooks. Absolutely not. It's that sort of jump. And I think that for me has been very helpful because it's sped up my learning. And I think a lot of folks too, you'll be able to learn a lot more so quickly. And then it's just, I've seen this already, like so many viewers get so excited about the fact there's movies coming because there's such this novelty around like, this has never been done before. It's like people don't care about like, AI movies or not. Like they're just like, this is a movie. This is being made into a movie. Like what? And they get so excited. So I think that's another really fun piece of this is like the only reason this all exists is because viewers are going to watch this and enjoy it. And it's really cool to even just float to your audience like, I'm gonna be making a movie. What? And it's no, you can actually say that and not be being farcical. Like you are making a movie now. It might come in 6 months and 12 months, whatever. It might come in 2 years. But whenever you're ready, you can make a movie. Watch what your audience says. If you put out a newsletter that says, I'm making a movie, like they're gonna be like, what? And you just be like, yeah, you don't need to know how. It's coming. Just watch. We're gonna be cooking. And I've had a few authors do that. And the response, they're always like, I didn't know people would be this excited. It's a movie. Like
Yeah,
this
people
doesn't
get
happen.
excited. And I love the Kickstarter idea. I love it so much because this might date me a little bit, but I'm a huge fan of Veronica Mars. There is a season we do not discuss because I hate that season because I don't like who her romance interest is, but whatever. Point being, they actually did a crowdfunding for the Veronica Mars movie. And I remember that as a fan, I contributed to it. I had to wait through that crowdfunding thing and get the movie. And it's just like a Kickstarter. And I think that you're right. The people who are fans, your readers, everyone gets really excited about doing a movie. And so I really love that you're doing this work and that you are giving authors this opportunity, but also giving the readers this opportunity because that is why we're here. We want to give the opportunity to readers. And so, for authors who are listening, I encourage you to think outside the box. Think of these creative ways. Check out CreatorWood. And if you're like, yes, I really want to do this. Oh, I have a book that's perfect for a movie. Think about doing that Kickstarter because you just never know. $3,000 isn't hard to raise on Kickstarter, from what I understand, if you know how to do it
And that
right.
gives you buffer because that'll generate you probably close to 300 minutes of video, right? So that's a long movie. So that's lots of editing. Like you're, which I want to incorporate in. The expectation should not be that like I just plug it in, plug it out, and I pay for 90 minutes of film and it's all perfect. Like any film you're gonna do, we do video to video model editing. So there's like edits if you want to make small edits to a video, you can do that. Or if you want to do a complete retake, you can do that as well. Either are great, but there's gonna be that part of the process. And there's also another thing, Danica, too. There's Kickstarter and there's thinking about it. Instead of taking my full book and making it into a full-length movie, what if you started with a pilot? You made the first couple episodes of a TV series, right? That expense might only be a couple hundred dollars, right? Maybe it's the first 5 to 10 minutes of your film. And you could start to test that and see, first of all, do you like it? Because this is all pay as you go. You're not generating, this is not just CreatorWood. We created CreatorWood to help this industry. If you want to use another tool because it's helpful to you, absolutely do it. I think you'll find that it's very hard, but you can do it. So whatever AI tool you use, it's all pay as you go for the most part. VO does require like a $250 a month minimum subscription. So there are like some subscriptions plus pay as you go because then you have to pay as you go. But regardless, like you're not going to have to, no one's requiring you to spend $1,000 out of pocket upfront, right? So with that, what if you just paid as you go and made the first couple minutes? Great. That can be a concept. First of all, do you like it? If you don't, if you're using CreatorWood, I want to know why and I want to help you. You can at least test it at a level that isn't going to burn a massive hole in your pocket, right? Then the second thing is you can release it. Put an episode up for free. See what your readers think. Do they like it? If they're like, this is trash, maybe don't make the whole movie. But if they're like, oh my God, where is it? Where can I get this movie? It's like, great, that's validation. You could further invest in this. Maybe then you charge the next episode and say, hey, here's my next episode. My next episode is 10 minutes long. You're gonna have to pay $2.99 for it. Okay, there you go. If you spend maybe $200, maybe 250, maybe 300 max making a 10-minute episode, cool. All of a sudden, you don't need that many sales to make that money back. I'm not suggesting it's easy, but a little over 100 sales, we're in the green there. Okay. You can then
Yeah.
fund it that way instead of going out of pocket. That's the one thing I'm wary of with people. I've done this in my own writing career. I know what it's like when this is your dream, because it's mine too. And I know what it's like when you're like, oh, I have the money, but I don't really have the money because I've been there. Like, you can always do gymnastics to make things work. And I think we make it as affordable as we can. The technology costs money. There's a lot of compute that goes into this. So we've literally brought down cost 50% in the last, like, literally 2 weeks, but we're limited in how cheap we can make it. So my only thing to people is, please be smart. It's very easy to say, oh, I'll do this and I have this dream, it'll all make sense. For me, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket in my writing career, most of which was not wisely spent, if I'm being candid with you. I could have been much smarter with that money, and just in terms of how I spent it. So yes, whether it's Kickstarter or pilots, helping you to not have to spend a bunch of money in a pocket, paradoxically, it sounds like it would hurt Creatorwood, but honestly, I'm mostly interested in the people who can use Creatorwood to make 50, 100 movies, who can build film businesses. And I believe that can be anyone, and that person could be you. But it's definitely not going to be you if your first couple movies are unsustainable. So doing this sustainably is really important to me, because I think there's a sort of FOMO and almost like gold rush mentality, in the words of Becca Stein, that can come from this type of thing. And I just don't think there's a need for that. Despite my excitement, like, it's really all chill. Make this fun. Make this about play, play for you, and hopefully play for your readers. And I don't see any sort of impetus to need to put up money that you might want to just keep in the silence for a little while and invest it when it's the right time. That's like my big call to action to people. And then, of course, if you decide it's a good idea for you, we're absolutely here. But that's something I want people thinking about, that there's creative ways to get around this. And if our mission is to help every story be seen, people have asked us, like, why don't we come up with a studio? Why don't we do this? And it's like, our whole goal is to make this whole process as accessible as possible. So you focus on that rather than handpicking movies to fund, because we really would have to handpick. There's so many. But I also want to help educationally how you think about using the tool to make it as accessible for you. And the toughest thing to wrap your mind around is, wait, it really is that simple. I don't need to go all out. I don't need to go make a movie to sell a movie. It's like, absolutely. Like, paradoxically, you don't need to make a movie to sell a movie. You can make the movie. That's the point. You're not ghosting people. It's not a scam. You're going to make it, but you don't need to make the whole thing to start to get cash in, to start to validate that it's a good idea.
And I think that's a great place to end on for us to really understand that you've given us this great tool. There are so many paths for authors to take. And if you are the author that is sitting there going, me, 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 cool. Here's a way for you to do it. If you're someone who's, oh, this is a really cool idea, but I don't have the bandwidth for it, that's okay because it's still going to be here a year from now, 2 years from now. The opportunity is still there. And as Michael said, really take the time to do what's best for you and your writing business. And I really appreciate that call to fiscal responsibility because we do have that as something to think about as well. So thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder. Steph, do you have anything you wanted to share before we go into our closing stuff?
Just that I'm now like super excited and I want to make a movie. I'll be calling up Michael after this is over and talk about it. But I definitely want to make sure that our listeners can find everything that Michael's been talking about so that even if they're not ready yet to make their own movie, if they can come into Michael's Creatorwood, understand it, get signed up for the newsletter, get all of his great information that he's pumping out there, because I believe he's got a podcast, of course, and a bunch of other things that people can come and at least listen and understand what's going on so that when they are ready to do something like this, they can jump right in. So please give us all your URLs and places to send people.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I love you both. And one of my favorite things to do is to help share the things I wish I knew. Yes, when it comes to that, a great place to start is blog.creatorwood.tv. Everything is creatorwood.tv with a sort of subdomain. So on the blog, what you'll find there is a free book called Creatorwood that I think probably more neatly than I can do with my ranting in a podcast outlines what I see as the opportunity and how to think about it, not from just a business perspective, although that's crucial, but also creatively too. So that's great. And then if you're on my newsletter list, you'll get a lot of emails from me in the first couple of weeks that are walking you through everything from pricing to marketing to tips for creation and all of that. So that'll all be there. It's just a good place to stay in touch. Next thing is to go to make.craterwood.tv. Right now, it's our home for people to learn more about the movie machine and for you to sign up to the beta. And then eventually, like, we're opening up the viewership platform soon. But as movies start to get uploaded, which I anticipate starting to see some early signs of life in the next 7 to 14 days, because we're rolling out beta access to the video generation side tomorrow. You can go to craterwood.tv to actually check out films, support fellow storytellers. Many of them will be free, many of them will be paid. And as a note about Craterwood, it's a direct sales platform in the sense that you get all the emails of anyone who buys or follows any of your films. And that also goes true for the people you support. It could be cool to check some things out there. And yeah, I have clapperboards. So if people do really well on the platform, we're going to come up with a bunch of tiers for it, but we're sending out a bunch of clapperboard awards. So we actually had our first clapperboard award sent out to Novi Kellum. They're like unbelievable, and they're an incredible storyteller, filmmaker, all the things.
They're also going to be a guest soon, so
Oh,
stay tuned.
good. Novi is amazing. Yeah, they need to be a guest. They're just incredible. So Novi is awesome, but I want to give out more clapperboards because they're fun. So
I can't wait
you're a
to see
director.
them.
You're a director.
Exactly. Excellent. I'm excited to go and check out more about CreatorWood. I'll be checking out the website and I'll be sure that we include all of those URLs in the show notes when we put together the whole blog post for this particular episode. We definitely want you to come by and can subscribe to us on YouTube so that you can get all of our upcoming shows. We took a little break over the summer, but we are back. We're back. We've got lots of interviews coming up and we're really excited about them. Is there anything else, Danica, that you want to say before we sign off? Yeah, I think that pretty much does it. We're also on Facebook. We have not done a great job with the promotion. We're working on it. Just please make sure you are liking, subscribing, sharing, all that stuff, because the more you do that, the more people we reach. And, that's our goal here, to make sure that we're helping as many people as possible and giving you all as many options as possible.
Absolutely. Okay, great. So, everybody, we will see you all in the next episode. So, from all of us here, we're going to say goodbye now. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Brave New Bookshelf. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us at bravenewbookshelf.com, sign up for our newsletter, and get all the show notes.